Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you. Give it up for the Hope College faculty. Worship band. Yes. You have no idea how much joy that brings me just to see them rocking. It's awesome in the proper sense of the word awesome. It's great. I want to introduce my friend Joshua Conge, who is going to read today's scripture, which is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Joshua is a senior from St. Louis. He is an engineer major. He's on his way to grad school next year. Yep. You'll see Joshua when we come back. He's going to offer a senior witness. So this is kind of a test drive, Joshua. So hear the word of the Lord.
2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us, through these things, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust and may become participants in the divine nature. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind, and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble. For in this way, entering into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Give it up for Joshua. Yes. Thank you. We're on the edge of spring break. I love this time of year, not only because I get to fill out my bracket, March Madness, not only because we get kind of just a break from the routine, but I love this time of year because we're on our way towards the cross. And on that way, it's a time of deep reflection about what it means to love and to be loved. It's a time of reflection to think about God. And as you launch north or south or east or west towards spring break, wherever you're going, whether it's an immersion trip or athletic trip or a choir trip, or you're just going with your friends or you're going home, or maybe you're staying here to work on that paper that you were going to get an A on, whatever you're doing, what I want you to take something with you. I want you to take a key with you that will unlock everything. Because you have been given everything. We just heard it in 2 Peter. For those of you who are kind of entering in, during this season of Lenten Chapel, we've been walking through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And both 1 and 2 Peter are letters. Letters written from a friend to friends with a particular theme on his mind. Peter, in 1 Peter, writes to his friends. And the dominant theme there is, how do Christians engage and handle suffering? What happens when things don't go the way you want it to do, or the powers and principalities are all stacked against you, and that suffering is real? What is the Christian response? It's a really important question, maybe never more so in our day than right now. And 1 Peter reminds us that Christ is with us and that we can look to Christ and walk with Christ because Christ is walking with us in the suffering. And today we open up the letter to 2 Peter. And his dominant theme in this letter is equally as relevant. The dominant theme in 2 Peter is how do you engage or discern false teachers in a pluralistic age? How do you discern heresies that keep you from walking on the true path because there are many out there in the world? 2 Peter wants to take up an encouragement for the knowledge of how we think about Christ. Because how we think about Christ or how we think about God matters a lot. Our theology will shape our ethics. I'm persuaded that a bad theology leads to bad living. A reduced vision of God leads to a reduced life. Peter wants to give us a proper vision. He wants to give us a picture of a God that is huge and immense, a picture of a God's nature who lives and moves and has his being in the cosmos that he created and endowed it with so much goodness. He wants us to see what the real thing is. Bank tellers will train you. My father was a banker, and they would train their bank tellers to spot counterfeit money by holding real money, by holding real currency. It's only by holding the real thing that you begin to figure out what's fake or what the heresy is. And so what Peter wants to do is offer us something real, real currency. Tyler Haygood. Tyler Haygood, he's on my baseball team. I'm going to be a baseball coach. This is Dr. Haygood's son. Feel that. Is that real? Is that real? How do you know that it's real?
It's rough.
It's rough. Feels thick. That's yours. You could take that. Yeah. Yeah. So, Tyler, how old are you, Tyler? How old are you? You're 9 years old. That 9-year-old boy, he knows what real money is. You couldn't see his eyes, but he felt that his eyes got big. He's just holding the real thing. That's what Peter wants us to do with God. God, he wants us to give us a vision of a God that's proper so that we will be able to spot what's counterfeit. And he begins it in verse 3. I love this verse, and I want to call our attention just here because this is the key that I want you to take with you, whether you go north or south or east or west. Hear these words. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Hear that one more time. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and for godliness. God's divine power. God has done something. God's grace has given us not some things needed, not a partial gift, but he's given us everything needed for life. The gift of life, everything that you wake up and take for granted, everything is given from him by his divine power in not only life, but a way to live life, a godliness, a participation in God's very nature. To be godly is to be like God, to take on his heart, his affections, his mind, his imagination, the things that he cares about. Who doesn't want to be like God? That was the first temptation back in the garden. If you do this, you'll be like God. That's one of our chief desires. And we are reminded here that by his divine power, we have given everything right now to be given life and godliness. It's been given to you. That is a remarkable claim. If we don't stop and pause and just wonder at that promise, at that claim, we are going to miss a proper vision of God, I think. You've been given everything you need right now. Nothing is deficient. And what I love about this is that it reminds me of the false heresy that I need to avoid and that I want you to avoid. It's the heresy of what I call the scarcity God. Do you know the scarcity God? The God that says you are not enough. You're not smart enough. You're not holy enough. You're not fast enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not enough. The scarcity God is the God that says, you have to prove yourself to me. You have to do X, Y, and Z before I will love you. The scarcity God is the contract God that unless you fill out my mandate, then my grace is not sufficient for you. Hear this. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and for godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory, which is his cross, and his goodness, which is his love. You have been called, each of you, and you have been given everything you need right now. You don't have to buy in to a scarcity mentality. The scarcity mentality says there is just not enough love to go around. But what this reminds us of real currency, a proper vision of a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. A God that is, out of his overwhelming nature, creates. Why? Because he can, and he loves to create. A God who throws the stars, the moon, and the sky. A God who creates human beings and breathes into them the breath of life. A God who doesn't just stay at a distance, but makes it personal, makes a promise, makes a covenant, not a contract, but a covenant that says, I will be with you now and forever, no matter what. This is a God of abundance. This is a God that takes a couple loaves and a couple fish and feeds the 5,000. This is a God that says, you are enough. I will love you no matter what space you're in, no matter what circumstance you're in. I will be with you. This is a God that takes on flesh and walks among us, moves into the neighborhood and says, I love you. I will die for you. This is a God of abundance. His divine power has given us everything, everything, everything we need for life and for godliness. We don't have to buy that lie anymore. We don't have to buy the heresy that we're not enough. What does that look like oftentimes? Tyler, this is one I need you. I need you, buddy. Come on up here. Tyler Haygood, he's on my baseball team. I just drafted him on Saturday. Come on up here. Yeah, little man. So this is what it sometimes looks like in our life. I love this dude. He's gonna be an all-star pitcher. I know. All right, Ty, I need you to climb up this. I need you to get this ladder. So there's an old medieval tradition that says, like, in order to get the keys to the kingdom, you got to go up there, get all the way up there and grab those keys. Come on down now. You got to figure out how to unlock it. Yeah, come on down. This is one vision. This is one vision of a deficiency God, a scarcity God that says, I'm going to love you only if you climb the right ladder, only if you do the right holy steps, only if you come to chapel, do your Bible studies, write that paper, get the A, make the team, fill in the blank. Only if you do the right religious things, then I'll love you. Right? That's a heresy. Tyler, run over there. Run over that table. Run! Run, son! Run! Come on, run back! Yeah, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be awesome. There's another kind of Protestant pietist tradition that says, I'm going to love you only if you hustle. But it's up to you to go get those keys. It's up to you to get it and bring it back, right? It's up to you. It's on you. That's not what the scripture says. Scripture says his divine power has given us. So what if God's already given it to us, the key? What if it's already in your hand right now? You don't have to do anything but to know that it's in your hand. And what is in your hand right now that's given you everything, the key that I want you to take with you on spring break, is Jesus. Jesus is the key to the kingdom that unlocks us from the presumed world in which most of us are trapped and so desperately want to flee. Jesus is the key that launches us into that wide open country of salvation, that puts our feet on a narrow path that takes us farther up and further in to the high country of the Trinity, where the air is thin but the glory is thick. Jesus is the key that God has given you right now. He became what we are so that we could become who he is, very children of God. Take that with you, whether you go north or south or east or west. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Go in peace.